Seeking God's blessing, we can turn to the portion of God's word that we have read. 1 Peter chapter 5, and the words in verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. I would like to take just 2 points out of this. First of all, to say a little bit about humbling and exalting. Humble yourselves, for in due time he will exalt you. And possibly in more depth to have a look at the second point, the command that is given by God here to cast all our anxieties upon him. Humbling yourself. Now, what does that take in? Humble yourself. Well, I suppose there'll be many answers you could give to that. And we must always be aware that there is a false humility which God does not appreciate. Humbling. To see really our smallness in the presence of a holy God. To see our inadequacies, for without him we can do nothing. To see our own inability, that is one side of it. But the other side is to see the power of God and how great God is and how small we are. And how sinful we are in the presence of such a God. Humbling ourselves. There was a woman, well known for her faith, the great faith that she had. And it was communion time, and the minister at the communions was wanting to go to see it. And these were his opening words to her. Ah, this is the woman of the great faith. That she immediately corrected him and said, No. I am the woman with the small faith, but in a great God. You see, when we humble ourselves, we see the power that belongs to God, and that we cannot put any barriers before his power. We may look at the state of our nation at the time that we are going through, maybe in our island. But God has not changed. The God that poured his spirit out on this area in times gone by is unchangeable. And he is still able to do. We cannot and dare not put any barriers before his power. To be humble, to see then that God is in control. And that's the kind of people that God wants in his church. Broken, contrite spirit. These people, God will not despise, as we have sung together. And this is the pattern that we see in Christ. He humbled himself. And he was obedient, even into the death of the cross. And what does the Bible tell us? That he is now highly exalted. above, and had given a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of his Father. Glory of the Father. Now, as Christians and as we journey on, we will have times when we will have mountain top experiences, when we will be near to Christ and when we will be lifted up. But we will also have times when we are down in the depths. Now, very often, the nearer we get to Christ, the deeper it seems to be the valley afterwards. And Peter, who wrote this epistle, would have a full knowledge of what I am talking about. For he himself had his mountaintop experiences. He was with him, with Christ, on the Mount of Transfiguration. He heard and saw wonderful things. And he had this mountaintop experience also of walking on the sea towards the Savior. But he had his own valleys as well, and he had this, that he denied his Savior. He denied his Savior. He let him down. Now, to be humbled, and you can add to all this yourself, to see that God is in control, which he is. And through humility is to be at one with God's will in your life, whatever it may be. And I am going to add this. There is probably nothing more difficult that the Christian has to do when he is trying than to be at one with God's will. And everything. Everything is within God's will. And in the midst of all your testings, in the midst of all your trials, in the midst of all your tribulations, in the midst of all the dealings of God with you in providence, in the midst of all your sicknesses, whatever it may be, the command here is to cast your anxieties upon him. And you know, and I am speaking just now about myself, it is not something that comes easy for us when we have our anxieties. We sometimes try to put things right ourselves, and when everything is totally against us, then we turn to God. But the command is, when we have these anxieties, to cast them upon him. In humility, to come to the feet of Christ with your burden, with your anxieties. And understanding that the person that you are approaching at the throne of grace understands what you are going through. We have not got a high priest that doesn't understand us. He was tempted in all points like as you are, and yet without sin. And he had his own trials, and he had his own tribulations. Particularly, our mind would go, he was always a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but particularly your mind would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he had a full view of what he had to go through on your behalf. Yet, he was one who always did God's will and set his face towards that cruel cross. Humble yourself. For in due time, he says, or in the proper time, he will exalt you. Now, some people might look at this and do say that you are taken out of it. It is in this present world. But I would rather look at it to go further than that. That it is the exaltation that he will yet do. That he will take you from a place where there will be none of these things that was causing anxieties in your life ever through in your experience again. In due time, he will exalt you. He will take you away from all that. There will be no pain. There will be no suffering. There will be no sicknesses. There will be no sin. There will be no Satan. Now, second thing I was going to say something about is this cast, this command here to cast all your cares upon him. Now, you know full well yourselves that sometimes things happen to us as Christians for which really and truly we have no answer for. And sometimes in the midst of these things, that you lose even the presence of God, that you have lost the presence of God. And maybe in these situations say, why? Why is God's hand dealing with me like this? God's loving hand. What have I done to deserve this? Well, in these situations, we have to say, your ways are not my ways. Neither are your thoughts our thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are his ways above our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. I am sure I have made this description before of the things that the Christian goes through, especially in the Gaelic service. And it came originally from the late Reverend MacIver, who was in Carloway, and he was making a description of what was going on at the time that women in the congregation of Carloway, and in all congregations, were doing what we would call feral churches. And he was saying, when you would look at the inside of these churches and you would see threads going here and there, they didn't make any sense to anyone. And he was saying, that is the side that we see. We see these dark threads in the pattern of our lives and we cannot make any sense of them. But he was saying, when you would turn the feral church the other way, that is the side that God looks at, and it is perfect. It is perfect. And sometimes we do have these dark threads, as you well know, in the pattern of our lives. But he sees the whole picture. And the God, if we would really hold on to this, difficult as it may be, the God that cannot lie is saying to you in the midst of all that, all things will work together for good for those that love the Lord, even those that are called according to his purpose. I'm a great believer, whether you agree with me or not, that the people of God who have been given faith, that faith will be tested at some stage or other as we carry on down here. But remember this. God has a special care. He's got a care for the whole world and every human being in the world, but he has a special care for his own people. As we sang in Gaelic, Aldi Marigafas Ahatayim, Struas Dalanapamir. As the earthly father pitieth his own children, so also will the heavenly father pity those that fear him. Tremendous care. Not only have you been brought into the family of God, not only can you say that he is your God, you can also say that he is your Father, which art in heaven, who looks after. Whichever way we may look at it, he looks after his own children. And the one that is in control, that I have said before, is the all-wise God. The all-wise God. Why would he take trials and tribulations and anxieties into the lives of his own children, believing children? Well, I believe that the answer to that is so that you will bear more fruit. As the gardener prunes the trees in his garden, so that they will bear more fruit. And if these trees were able to speak, they would also say, why are you doing this to me? I was better the way I was. But no, the gardener is doing it so that you will bear more fruit. So that you will be on your knees. So that you will come to him in bended knees, in prayer, to keep you closer to him, to keep you clinging to him in your need. And I believe that is one of the reasons, or the main reason, that sometimes we go through trials and tribulations. But it would be good for us and me, talking to myself always, if we would remember these halcyon days when the Lord came into our lives. And then, we were seeing then, behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon me, that I should be called a child of God. You were so full in these days. But now, surrounded maybe by many anxieties and many doubts and many cares, but all these things are in the hands of God. And the God that will fulfill all his promises for you. You could be sitting here today. You know, I couldn't get away from this verse. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's not for anybody that's sitting here. Maybe somebody will hear this service in weeks and will be of some bad, I don't know. God knows. But you could be sitting here today and your greatest anxiety is what you find within yourself. And nobody knows it but you do. This sin that is within you, yet you cannot get rid of. It is, you do it every day that you get up. Well, what is God saying to you? As a child of God, he is saying to you, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You will not be condemned. And as I have said before, all things will work together for good. Well, maybe you will never on this side see that they worked for your good. But there will be a day when all these things will be explained to you and you will bless God that they were in your life, when you will see the reason for them. And maybe also this could be an anxiety to some of you, that you are not as alive as you were, and that you are not so aware of the presence of God in your gatherings as you were in times gone by. An anxiety to you. But what is God saying to you? And what is the promise of God to you? He is saying that there is nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Neither death nor life nor principalities or power, things present or things to come, or height or depth, or any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And isn't it a great privilege in all your anxieties and in all your cares that there is a throne of grace that you can go to and that you can pour your heart out before God, who knows your problem, who can help you as the all-powerful God. Sometimes I look upon the believer's life in this wilderness as the seasons of the year. Sometimes we will be like it is at the moment, summertime and everything budding and everything so beautiful. But then there comes a winter into our lives and everything is so dead. But then spring comes and things begin to bud again. And you know, where there is life, farther than be, it will arise. As you see, even grass growing through the tarmac on the road, because there is life underneath it. And even in your spiritual winter, a time will come. A springtime will come around again in your life. And you will be seeing then the time of the singing of the birds has come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. On the way to glory. On the way to glory. With our Lord sometimes to bear. I remember when we used to go out to the Sheeling, the back of Ben Braga. There was two mountains there, and the Sheelings were at the back. And as a young boy, I would have to carry so much myself along with my parents. And when that bag was put on my back, and I was so excited. That were going to the shilling, and the bag was so light I didn't think anything of it. Couple of miles along the way, and then it began to get heavy. That's the way it is. But it was quite peculiar. You had to go through these two mountains to go to the back where the shillings were. And as I approached with the great anticipation of going, being all summer out there, fishing and at the back of these hills, everything was getting light again. And I've seen this Christians and on getting near to going to glory, and they were so alive, and looking forward to the place that they were going to. Has your faith been tested? Well, what token can I give you? Well, what have you done? Have you gone back? No. Did you leave God? No. You still following him? Yes. You still loving him? Yes. You still praying to him? Yes. Well, that's a token. That's a token to you. In the midst of everything and the day that we are living in, that you are still following God. There was somebody who went forward in Shawbus many, many years ago. And after going forward, he was saying, well, I don't think I should have gone forward at all. And one of the old elders said to him, very craftily, maybe it is better for you to go back then. And he looked at him in shock horror and said, no, that was only a dead loss anyway. And that is the way it is with the Lord's people. They are not those that turn back to perdition, but those that go on in faith to save their souls. And there are many, as you know full well, of the Lord's people in homes and in old folks' homes today. And that is their situation. They have a load to carry, but they are still praising God. And we have to praise God and follow God, even when we are not aware of the Spirit of God in the gatherings. Now, I am sure that there is somebody and he or she is saying this. Well, that's all very simple to cast my anxieties upon him. But I have already done that and I still have this anxiety. What's the answer to that? Well, he doesn't say when he commands you to cast your anxieties upon him or your burden upon him, he doesn't say that it will be completely removed. But when you cast your anxieties upon the Lord, on the promise that he will sustain you, he will be with you in these trials and in these, he will lift you up through your crisis. Two are better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. The word of God. And take this with you. The God that was with you in these bright days when you came out, and you were on top of the mountain, is the same God that is with you now in the valley. What is Christ doing when you cast your anxieties on him? He is taking the heavy end of your burden. He has already taken the heavy end of your burden. He has been made a curse for you. Cursed is everyone that is hangs on a tree. Now, how can my cares and my anxieties be made lighter? Well, one or two thoughts are coming to my mind. First of all, to weigh what you have today, whatever it may be, and then weigh what Christ did for you. And I am sure when you weigh these things together, you will see and understand that your cares and anxieties are getting lighter. Because what he did for you in that, on that cross, he had no one to help him. His disciples had fled, and even his Father's presence was not aware to him. My God, why are you forsaking me? He had no one to turn to. But you, in your anxieties and in your cares, you have someone to turn to, the Almighty God. When you go through the waters, he says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. A promise from him in your anxieties, but he didn't have, Christ didn't have that. We are different. His arms are round about us. We are kept. We are a kept people. Or even when you are not conscious of it, that is the truth of the scripture. And secondly, it ought to make it lighter if we would look at it from this, to what we are entitled to. O Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquity against me, who could stand? A bitter cup. Yes, you might have a bitter cup. But if we would be able to look at it not at in the past or even in the present, but to look to the exaltation and the inheritance that lies ahead for the Lord's people. So what he is saying here is, don't try to put things right yourself. Cast your anxieties upon him. Pray to him and ask for grace. And in due time, he will exalt you. You see, what I am trying to put across is this, that God has a great care for his church, for his own believing people. He loves you in spite of your sins. And he knows all your cares. And he knows all your burdens. And none as heavy as Christ's. On your behalf, on my behalf, paying the debt that we owe for our sins. God in our nature made a curse. It is a blood-bought judge. And God loves the judge. Sees no sin in them. Isn't that amazing? You see many sins within yourself, but God looks upon you and he sees no sin in Jacob or professional in Israel, because he sees what Christ has done in you, Roman, your stead. He has ascended. He died. We didn't stop at the cross. He rose triumphantly, and he has ascended up on high and procured gifts for rebels. For rebels. Like me and you. What does the Bible say then? It says this: after he had cleansed us from our sins, then he sat at the right hand of God in heaven. Now, most of what I have been saying here today is towards the Lord's people. Cast all your cares upon him. And he's asking all people to come into me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there could be people here today who are not followers of Christ. Do you know anything of what I have been talking about? Do you believe this? That we can take our burdens to Christ. All I'm sure you're saying, well, I wish I could. I wish I could believe. But God has not touched me yet. God has not touched me yet, you are saying. Well, we have to be very careful there. Very careful. That we are not looking for some bright shining light. As the Apostle Paul certainly got that, because he had a great work to do. For the Lord, he was going to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Have you got a desire in your heart? A desire in your heart to be saved? A desire in your heart to love Christ? A desire in your heart to believe Christ? Put your trust in Christ. Have you got that desire? Right. Following on from that, and I'm trying to bring this to an end. Following on from that is this question. Where do you think that desire came from? Did it come from yourself? Did it come from Satan? No. It came from God. It came from God. If you have a desire in your heart, because the reason I'm saying that is, before you were dead in trespasses and sin and deaf and blind, and none of these desires would come into your heart. It is a step of faith. Now the believers here today will tell you that the step that they took by going to the prayer meeting and going to sit at the Lord's table, each of these was a means of strengthening them. You don't get the strength first and then go and do it. That would not be a step of faith. You take the step of faith and you are strengthened when you do it. And correct me if I am wrong. Can you say, I am a sinner, and I am leaving all my sins in your hand, and I am praying that you will cleanse me in your blood? Well, place your life and your hope and your soul in him. I am sure, and with this I will certainly end. I am sure maybe I've told this story already, but it's got a connection to what I am talking about. And it was an old elder from Bach that told me this, that he was constantly on at his own next door neighbor to go to the prayer meeting. And he was making all the excuses that maybe that you are doing. Anyway, his daughter was staying away and she sent a birthday present to this man that was next door to him. Her father sent a present to her father of a watch, and the watch was very precious to him. And they were taking home the piece with the tractor this day. And because he had this watch on this hand here, so that he wouldn't scratch it, he took it off and put it on the other hand, because he always used to throw the piece with this hand. And when they got home, he couldn't find the watch. And the peats weren't all that far away, and they went out to the peat banks and scoured there, and they couldn't find the watch, and they came home. And you can imagine what the ladies of the house were like, because the food was ready, and they were telling them, wash your hands and sit at the food, never mind the watch. And the old man that was next door to the elder went over to the sink to wash his hands, and the watch was there. It was where he had put it on. He was looking for it on this side. And the old elder, Ivor Martin's father-in-law, was telling me this. The old elder jumped in and said, we have been looking for something today that you had all the time. And I think that God is saying to you, in a spiritual sense, that you, yourself, are looking for something that you already have. And be careful that that is not your situation. Amen, and may the Lord bless to us these few thoughts on his word. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, humble us in thy presence, that thou would give us a true sense of humility in thy presence, and that thou would give us a true sense of repentance in thy presence, and a true prayer in thy presence, a spirit of prayer. For thy word reminds us that if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and forsake their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. So, Lord our God, that thou would give thy people such a state in thy presence, and that thou would come indeed with healing power upon our land once again, in the name and in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final singing to God's praise will be in Psalm, Scottish Psalter again, Psalm 61. And at the beginning, the psalmist cried to God when his heart was overwhelmed. Psalm 61, from the beginning, O God, give ear into my cry, into my prayer attend. From the utmost corner of the land, my cry to thee I'll send. What time my heart is overwhelmed and in perplexity, do thou me lead into the rock that higher is than I. For thou hast for my refuge been a shelter by thy power, and for defence against my foes thou hast been a strong tower. Within thy tabernacle I for ever will abide, and under covert of thy wings with confidence me hide. We'll sing these verses in closing. Psalm 61, from verse 1 down to the verse 4. From another. We pray that thou would not part with us, that thou would bind us together with these cords of love that cannot be broken. Bind us together in Christ, for Christ's sake. Amen.